up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about testing out and finding small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. If you're interested in reaching out or helping out, check out the links in the description of each episode to access our email, Twitter, website, and YouTube channel. But enough about the show, let's get into our next game. Rollerdrome is the game for this week's episode. Rollerdrome is a third-person action arcade game, and you definitely right away see some comparisons to the original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater games. A lot of influence there, especially with like the arcade vibe to it. You're going into levels, things like that. Also takes a lot from games that we've talked about, like The Pathless, Leica, and West of Dead even. The game was originally released in August of 2022 on PC, PS4, and PS5. And then in November of 2023, it came to Xbox Series X and S, and the game launched on Game Pass on Xbox, and I believe it is still on Game Pass, so that's a nice little deal there. If you have Game Pass, you can play for free. And then I think in February of 2024, it was one of the free games on PlayStation Plus. The game was developed by Roll7, which is a studio of about 50-plus people, and they work out of London, and they've made games like the Ali Ali games, which I've heard of but I haven't played, as well as Laser League, which I think was also a PlayStation Plus game, and I downloaded it, but I don't think I actually played it ever yet. The game was published by Private Division, which is owned by Take-Two, and they tend to focus on smaller games in terms of publishing, but they've published a couple games of note, like Hades and The Outer Worlds. I have not played Hades, but The Outer Worlds is an awesome, awesome role-playing game. Definitely outshines like Fallout 4. Really nice, and I think that was actually developed by Obsidian. The game released with an MSRP of $29.99 and runtime just going straight through, just to beat each level and get through pretty quickly. You could probably get through in under 7 hours, but there's a lot of extras in here. There's a lot of challenges that you can do that are optional, but if you're a completionist, you may want to, and that could maybe put you up over 15 hours potentially. And the game does have a platinum trophy for our PlayStation listeners. I think it's 0.5% overall have gotten it. It seems like a tough one. I don't think I'm going to get it. And me, I've been playing this on PlayStation. I got this for $19 on sale, and I've probably put in close to 5-ish hours. There's, I think, 4 tiers of different levels, and I'm in the third tier. I think the second out of 3 in the third tier. But I've been taking my time because I'm going back to the earlier levels, and I think most of the first tier I have all 10 challenges. And in terms of recommendation, I saw this, I believe it was a PlayStation State of Play video where this came out, and so I saw it. Definitely the visuals were striking, but on Sacred Symbols, the podcast, they definitely talked about it, and I think some of them even played it. But just from the dead look of it, it's like a modern Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, but it's a shooter. So definitely a lot to like there, and that's really why I dove in. All right, let's talk gameplay for Rollerdrome. So this is a skating arcade game. It's a skating sim. It's more roller skating. It's not skateboarding, but pretty much the same thing. and a general format for what you're going to go through. You're going to be doing these mini sandbox levels, and you go in and you kind of do tricks and stuff like that, and you get scoring and grading. And then within the levels, you can complete certain challenges. And the basic goal is to complete the level and unlock new levels. And then when you go back to the main screen, you'll see that there are like level tiers. And so the first one, I think, has four levels. And then what's going to happen is to unlock other tiers, you're going to have to complete a lot of the challenges. And we'll go through what that looks like. But basically, when you advance into different tiers, you're advancing the story. And then kind of in between those different tiers of levels, you'll go through maybe like a little first-person scenes where you're in a locker room and you're doing some exploration to give you a bit of exposition. But the main thing you're going to be doing in this game is going into levels to do your skating. And the first few levels that you go into, you'll go through some tutorials that are very helpful that guide you through just some of the basics, some of the move sets. If you've ever played a Tony Hawk Pro Skater game, the move set and the physics are pretty much identical, or at least as I remember them. If you have ever played those games, your instincts are going to jump right back into place. And so let's go through some of the basics with the skating. Just right off the bat, as you start a level, you're standing still. All you have to do is press forward once on the joystick and you're automatically moving and you never have to press it again. And so all of the directional stuff you're really going to do is just whenever you want to turn side to side. The camera is a big thing. You can invert both axes. Amazing for me and people like me. But there are some other options. There's one option, I think it is to center it around your character at all times or something like that. I don't know how it quite phrases it, but it doesn't keep it fixed. I think it's just like sometimes when you go up in the air, it kind of recenters in a weird way. I've been back and forth about it. I'm not quite sure what it does, but there is an option for something like that. And then a lot of things that, again, if you've ever played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, these things will come right back to you. So you can jump, but the way that you jump is by actually releasing the jump button. So if you're just skating along, you can hold the jump button and then time it to release it when you want to jump. Other things that you'll do while you're in the air, you can grab one of your skates or both of your skates and turn a certain way. You can flip. So when you hold the button, you can kind of orient your joystick in a 3D space and maybe you'll topple over front or twist side to side, but just basically kind of rotating in 3D space. And then there's a button to grind on things like edges of things or railings. And what's really nice is when you're up in the air and you go down, you don't necessarily have to do a perfect landing with your skates. No matter how you land, even if it's on like flat ground, your character is just going to kind of roll out of it and keep moving. So this is really good because if you've ever played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, you know that sometimes if like you go up on the vertical ramp and then you come down not on it, you're just going to fall and like you're going to waste like 10 seconds. So not here. She is always moving your character and always kind of gracefully rolling out of any kind of bad fall. But when you're doing a lot of these things like grabbing your skates, flipping, grinding, things like that, you can add a direction and turn a certain way while you're in the air and do it. And then that's going to allow you to do all kinds of different combos and get different scores for that. More advanced as you get further on, you realize that you can actually do two directions or twice in the same direction and then do it. And then it'll have like a different name or something like that. So there's all kinds of things that you're going to be discovering, different grabs, different flips. You can grab and flip at the same time. So a lot of combos that you'll be doing to get points for your score. And then the main difference between this and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is that this is a third person shooter. And so you're going to start out with these dual pistols. Eventually you will get other weapons, which we might talk about in a little bit, but you'll be basically just driving around on your skates and moving. And whenever something comes into your range of your gun, sort of this box will come up as like an auto aim box. So all you have to do is hit the trigger and it'll automatically hit it. And this will come up when you get close to enemies, when you get close to certain projectiles that are coming at you, and also when you get close to barrels that are explosive. So when you shoot them, it'll kind of damage or hurt or even kill enemies that are near it. And as you're shooting your guns, you'll notice, I believe in the upper left corner of the screen, that you'll have a clip size. And to start off with the dual pistols, I think it's 12 bullets in a clip size, but your other weapons are going to have varied size. Like the shotgun, I think, has 6, the grenade launcher has 2. And what's interesting is that this clip is shared among all of your weapons. So if you're shooting with your pistols and you're down like halfway and you switch to the grenade, you'll only have 1 out of the 2 grenades because it's like half of your clip is left. And so it kind kind of translates between the different ammos. And as you're going along, you're probably going to run out of bullets in your clip, and the way to reload your clip is to do combos in the air. And so this is really interesting because as you're doing the normal, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, going up the vert ramp and doing a grab or a flip or something like that, you need to constantly be doing this as you're shooting enemies because you're running out of bullets. So it's kind of like this strange synergy between like a skating arcade game and a shooter, and I really like how they work together. Something else that's really good in this game is that with shooting, you have this bullet time function. It's called reflex time, and basically it'll slow down time, and you can turn around or turn any way and aim your shot and hit who's ever in range. And of course, as you're doing that, the box for aiming at certain enemies or projectiles and whatnot will also move, but it'll move at a slow pace. I think when you do it, the camera kind of auto points at whichever thing is closest, enemy and whatnot. But sometimes when I do this mid-air, I have to like really re-turn the camera completely around because there's a sniper that I'm really close to and I want to just shoot and kill that person. And as soon as you start the reflex time, there'll be a meter that's like closing in from the outside. And then once that's out, you'll have to kind of wait a little bit to recharge that. But it actually refills pretty quickly, and you don't have to wait until it's completely full, at least I think, to use it again. And so as you're going through these levels, you're going to need something to shoot. So let's talk about the enemies that you'll come across. There's a really good variety of the different types, and you'll be exposed to simpler ones in the beginning, and then eventually you get to more complex ones. So there'll be melee enemies, there'll be snipers, there'll be these enemies that shoot rockets, some that throw mines like very far away. And they're also going to have other variations, like how much health they have. So certain enemies that are tougher are going to take more shots to kill them. And you're also going to see a varied amount of defenses. So some of them will actually be holding shields. Some of them will do crazy things, like if you shoot them once, they'll teleport to another side of the arena. Or there are these enemies that you hit them once, this like invincibility bubble will come around them for a little bit. So this is where some of the bullet time, the reflex time comes in, because some of these enemies that shoot up a defense after you hit them, if you can shoot them really quickly in a row in a short amount of time, you might be able to kill them potentially in one encounter. And what's really good is that there are a lot of indicators visually, and we'll talk about the visuals and the coloration when we talk about the vibe. But anytime that like a sniper or a long shooter is about to shoot you, there'll be a line kind of pointed right at your character that you'll see no matter what angle you're at. And if it's like gray or blacked out, that means they haven't really found you. If it's orange, that means they're about to shoot you. And when it turns white, that means they are literally shooting you right at this moment. And so what that brings in is the dodge mechanic, because your character can dodge. Recovery time for the dodge is actually pretty quickly. Like I was dodging kind of multiple times in a row, even in reflex time. But what's really great is you can do what's called a perfect dodge, which is as soon as you see the line turn white, or as soon as someone is about to hit you, if you dodge, you'll get a perfect dodge. And some of the challenges are linked to doing that. But what you can also do is right after a perfect dodge, you can go into reflex time and you will instantly transport to super reflex time, which I think gives your weapons more damage. So you definitely want to be aware of that and get that timing down. It's really not that bad, the timing. It's not like trying to parry in a Souls game or something like that, which I find difficult sometimes. It's actually pretty helpful, the visual indicators. Like as soon as it turns white, just dodge and then immediately go to reflex time and you'll kind of just dive right into it. So with the dodging, you're avoiding attacks, obviously. And even if you dodge it when the line is still orange, basically what you're going to do is kind of stave off their aim for a bit, and you'll see like the aim lines of the snipers just kind of moving about. But when it gets hectic, you're going to have to keep dodging multiple people that have you in their aim. And the thing with enemies and how it works in these levels is that these are going to be the indicator for beating the level, because you have to beat all the enemies, you have to kill them in order to complete the level. So keep that in mind if you're doing other things, which we'll talk about in a minute with challenges, where like if you have something else that you want to do before the level's over, don't kill the last enemy and then you can keep going. Other things are that enemies will come in multiple waves or periodically just get added in or teleport in. And so even if you have it down to a couple enemies, you might want to hurry up and kill them, because if another wave is coming more quickly, you might have leftover enemies and really compounding the enemy situation. So let's talk about some of the levels. So the environments that you're going to come across, they vary a lot. The settings, like you'll be in a canyon, you'll be inside a mall, you'll be at like a ski resort outside. A lot of the things that you're going to be interacting with are going to be like skate park things, just kind of plopped in there. I don't know all the specific names for this, but there are a lot of ramps, a lot of railings. But what I really like is that a lot of the different things you can interact with and grind on or, you know, ramp off of are really a fusion of the landscape, like the environment's kind of really coming to life, which I guess is really not new for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater games. But again, I think it really gels well, especially when you're in the mall, like going up the escalator, like you can grind on the one side. Traversing through the levels, some of these are going to be like vastly flat, like when you're in the canyons and it just has random kind of ramps or bumps in the middle. Sometimes you'll have to jump over big gaps to get to like different parts of the level. Sometimes you'll have to like grind and get all the way up. There is a lot of verticality in some of these. So traversing through this, you know, really exploring each of these levels, the challenges do a good guide to help you like know what's there, but you'll definitely see some opportunities to explore around in these levels. Whenever you come up to a vertical ramp, what you can do is hold a button, and instead of just kind of going up the ramp and doing tricks and coming right down back the ramp, you can kind of move through it. Again, that's right out of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Definitely, there's a mechanic for that. You can do wall rides, and then you can jump off the wall. The arcade aspect is interesting in this game. So what is different, and I think a real saving grace for this game compared to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, is that time counts up instead of down. In especially Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, that's the one I remember the most. I think you have like 2 minutes in a level, and it's like impossible to see everything. So I like that you kind of have more time. You can go at your pace, and you can really see as much as possible in the level. You can definitely like overstay your welcome or have it affect your score at the end for staying in the level too long. And speaking of score, so at the end of the level, you will get a score for how you did in the level, and then a grade. So I think it goes from D all the way up to S. And I don't know if any of the challenges really want you to get a certain grade, probably in the trophies. Again, I haven't checked the trophies, but one of them I'm sure is like get an S grade for all levels, which is insane. But a lot of what you're doing with your combos throughout the level is you're going to be bumping up that score by doing combos and by also keeping your multiplier up. So this is where the arcade aspect is really in full force. So you'll have a number that kind of pops up on the right side of the screen anytime you kill an enemy. And then the number will be kind of full or almost full with a certain color. And as long as you're not really doing anything like tricks or anything like that or killing enemies, that coloration of the inside of the number will flow down like a meter. And all you have to do is before that flows down, kill another enemy or do more tricks or something like that to keep that multiplier up and, you know, hopefully even have it go up another level. And that's really going to multiply your score and really get you that score at the end of the level. Challenges are something else that are available to look at on the main menu as you're selecting what stage to go in. So each level has 10 challenges for you to do. And again, it's not really the goal of each level. The goal of each level to beat it is to kill all the enemies. But the thing about the challenges is that to get to higher tiers of levels, and I believe there are 4 tiers, you have to perform a certain number of these challenges. You have to fulfill them. And what I like also is that you can kind of fulfill any ones that you want. So for example, if you see on like, you know, the 4th level, it says get a high score of like 500,000 or something like that, and it's a really tough level and you're not good at it, just don't do that challenge, because there are plenty of other challenges for you to do in order to get to other tiers. So it's not like you have to do all the challenges to get all the way through the game. So I like that you can kind of pick and choose based on your strengths and stuff like that. But a lot of these challenges are going to be simple. Like I said, high score ones. Some of them might be like do this particular trick somewhere in the level. Some might say like do this trick by a particular trick icon. Sometimes might be out of reach or tough to get to. So that's a little bit of a challenge. You often in each level have to collect 5 of these kind of skater token things, which isn't anything new. I mean, if you've played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, it would be like collecting the letters for skate. You might have challenges that say like kill a number of enemies a certain way. And so there's all different kinds of things. And what I really like is it might say do this specific trick or do this specific trick by the trick icon. And then as you're in the level, when you hit the pause menu, it shows you how to do the trick. like right under the challenge, it'll say like right and square to do this grab. And it's just a small quality of life thing, because it gets really annoying if you're trying to look up, like, I don't remember which turn or which grab this is called. And if it says like do a back grab or a, I don't know the names of anything, but you could be messing around all day and even button mashing and not quite know what you're doing or what it's called. But I love that it gives you that detail of saying like, here's how to do the trick. You don't have to go crazy trying to figure that out. Progressing in this game, so like I said, beating a level requires you to kill all the enemies, and the level tiers for the challenges, like I said, you do a certain number of challenges to unlock the next tier of levels, but it is possible for you to die in a level, so you do have a health meter in the top left corner, I believe right above your ammo, and as you get hit, you lose health, but as you kill enemies, they drop health. So any enemy that dies, you'll see sort of these like emerald gems or something like that, and all you have to do is drive by them and you'll get that health. So again, kind of further feeding that mechanic of like, okay, you have to kill enemies and you have to do combos to reload your weapons. And if you get hit, you have to kill enemies so that you can get their health. So it all kind of feeds into the same pot. But what I do like is if you die, you can obviously retry the level. It's no big deal. But if you completed a challenge before you died, it's still completed. So it's not like you have to complete the challenge and beat the level. So I really like this. Some people who are maybe more challenge oriented might not like this forgiving aspect of the game, but I think it's really nice. It's really refreshing. I was really surprised the first time I died. And I was like, damn, I did that challenge. That's really hard. Now I have to do it again. But I looked at the menu and it was all good. There are also bosses in this game. I don't know how many, but I think at the end of the second tier, there was a boss. And so I'm assuming there's one at the end of the third and the fourth, but I don't know. Also, how it defines bosses, I don't know. But this particular boss I'm remembering was actually after beating a level. It's like a second part to the level. So if I died, I actually had to beat the level again. So that was a bit of a challenge. And in terms of pacing, we talked about tutorials. The beginning of this game is great with tutorials. There are really not that many things you can do. It's pretty basic. And so it lays it out for you and it gives you kind of like an open skate park there. And I also like the pacing of challenge in this game. Like the first few levels are pretty manageable. You're getting some of the basic enemies, but then as you get further, it introduces a little tougher enemies or more at a certain time, more in waves. So the idea of introducing new enemies is also something that's well paced. Once you get to the third tier, I mean, I died like 4 or 5 times on a level and it was really tough, but eventually I got through it. So they do get tougher. I like the pacing of the challenge, and I think it really does a good job of onboarding, but then really getting you to a place where like you feel like you're accomplishing things when you beat a level. Let's talk about the vibe of Rollerdrome. So visually, I cannot make enough comparisons between this and Void Bastards and also Laika, which is one of our recent episodes. So it has this comic feel to it. Like the characters, the enemies, the landscape, everything is like thickly outlined. Sometimes it has a shading or lines on it. Like your character, and the detail on their face, when you look at even just the main screen or the icon, the details of like the creases or the wrinkles and the shading and how that works definitely has that kind of comic book vibe to it. As you're moving, it feels a bit weird. It almost feels like a stop motion feel to it. Like you're kind of in that music video, Take On Me, where the guy's like, you know, kind of slowly moving. And it is 3D, like the characters, you know, it is third person, but something about the way it's outlined, it almost looks like, you know, there's this weird gyration or stop motion feel to it. And seemingly, there really is pinpoint detail about the characters and the landscapes and things like that, whether from near or far. I think it has a lot to to do with the outlining and the shading, but you can definitely tell the detail of like how different things are separated by color on a character that's like far away. The color palette for this game is interesting. There's a lot of oranges contrasted with white. We talked about the indicators when someone's aiming at you, but all over it's like orange, kind of red, brown, these like amberish colors. And then when you see something that stands out, like an enemy projectile or even different enemies and how they look or some of the armor they have, a lot of unique colors. Like you do see some shots of blue and green. There's one enemy that does an aiming thing that is blue. I hate that enemy because they kind of leave behind almost like Iceman, like a track of this like blue fire. But it's different from when a sniper, because the sniper is orange. When you see the blue thing coming, oh, it's such a pain in the ass. But those very specific unique colors do stand out. And then the importance of indicators. So we talked about if you're getting shot at, when to dodge, but also when your ammo is low, it actually changes color, like the box that has the ammo. And that coupled with the sound effects, which we'll talk about in a second, I think is such a great small detail, because if you're not looking at your ammo, and you're probably not, you can see a color change kind of out of the corner of your eye. So that is something that is helpful. As well as when you're taking some shots, like with the shotgun, there's almost like a mini game, kind of like Returnal, the reload mechanic there, where it's like you can do a slug shot if you just, you know, wait for the indicator to, from both sides, come in the center and time it perfectly. And the environments, I think the color and the design really make the detail pop. And some of them, like the terrain that you're looking at, again, with the outlining, it almost looks like a topographical map. Like when you're in the canyon area, the way that it's kind of outlined, or if there's a hill or a ramp or something like that, like you really feel like you're looking at a topographical map. The broad color of some of these arenas and environments really do set the mood for how it feels. Like the canyon has like this orangey kind of sandiness to it, or like savanna like thing. But then when you go to like the ski resort outside, like it's snowy and all the environment around is white. So it really does capture the vibe there. And then just small touches, like if you see projectiles coming at you, like the smoke coming out of the back of them or something like that, or you know, the blue kind of fire ice that gets put out all over the arena as it's getting shot at you, and different things like if you die or if you win the level, like the whole screen kind of changes color, and then the word victory or eliminated comes up, and it kind of pops the camera over to who killed you. In terms of audio, I really like the music in this game. It sometimes has like a slow kind of methodical build and ambiance, but then it gets to like this 80s techno kind of stuff. So it's a weird cross between Narita Boy and Hotline Miami, which are great soundtracks. Really love the vibe of it. And it really gets you in the mood for like, okay, once the level's going, like people are shooting at you and it's like dun 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 dun. And then sound effects can be a bit chaotic. So there's a lot of things going on. You've got your shots coming out of your guns, you got the enemies kind of shooting their projectiles or even making noises. And then because you're in this like arcade arena, there's almost like a loudspeaker or like an announcer that's announcing. I can't really make out what they're saying. But it's just really interesting. It's this cacophony of different things going on. And then when you get low in your clip, like you can hear the sound effects of the bullet actually change as it's getting less and less. And then when you get down to zero, like it's like clink, clink, like there's nothing left in there. So that's really helpful. And I'm playing it on the PS5, and I think that sound effect is actually coming out of the controller, so that's really helpful. And then finally, in terms of themes and setting, so this is set in 2030, which is the future, not that far, but it definitely has, I think, a futuristic vibe to it, or just the fact that you're in this arena kind of roller skating and shooting people. It takes a lot from the movie Rollerball with LL Cool J, I think in the early 2000s. I forget who else was in that. I think the developers actually cite that as an influence for this game. So in a lot of ways, this is a lot like that. So you're in this sort of competition where you're roller skating and obviously shooting enemies, but there's this weird like corruption, or the game is being fixed because it's kind of like a tournament. You do actually experience that light exposition as you're going through these first person mini levels that are, I think, between tiers. And so you kind of walk around and read like news headlines or overhear talking in another room. So you do get that light exposition. I do like that. It's a nice touch. It's not like a major thing, like you walking through doors or anything like that and exploring. But it is nice to just get a sense of like what is going on in this world, because it does really kind of fulfill that rollerball aspect. But also it kind of shuts off the outside world in a lot of ways. You really get minimal context of what's going on in the world, or you know, you're just kind of isolated isolated in this competition and you don't really know like how futuristic everything else is. And so I like that as like a focus of the scope. And what's interesting is that there is also something very cold or reductive about this competition that you're in, and even about your character and the character of the levels. It's almost like you're in this isolated world where this competition is happening. It's very, I don't know, maybe Hunger Games or Squid Games, where it's like kind of like life and death. I mean, obviously you lose a match, like if your health goes down. I don't know if your character actually dies, but you do retry it. But just like this weird, like, who are these people shooting you? Are you killing them? I don't know. Is it like a kill or be killed, like survival of the fittest type thing? It's a strange kind of setup here, and I don't know the grand scope of it. I would be interested, but I'm fine just kind of playing through the game. But I like sort of the reductive scope and focus of this story. All right, let's wrap up the conversation about Rollerdrome. So this is a fun game. It's a nice arcade vibe. Like, you can just jump in, do a level, go back to a level where you missed some challenges and maybe try to redo it. It's a nice break from more intense games, although the combat can get a little intense itself. I love the tutorials in this game. I think it's very easy in terms of the basics. It's very good at onboarding, and it's very good at pacing the challenge. Like, the levels do get more challenging at a nice linear pace, and eventually it gets really tough. Like, I'm getting my ass kicked in the third tier. And I also like that you can choose what challenges to do to advance, so it's not like you have to do everything. I think getting a high score can be really tough, but some of the other things that you can do to qualify as a challenge and open up some of the advanced tier levels, you're not really locked out of it if you're not good at a particular aspect of the game. Sometimes the combos can be a bit button mashy, kind of just random what you get through, like I'm just like doing things as I'm in the air just to reload, but I think that it balances itself well because the combat really keeps that precision and that intensity about what you're doing, and just like slow motion, just shooting somebody and blowing them away and then doing some tricks. I like that it kind of doesn't emphasize the tricks as much, but if you're doing challenges, you can be more intentional with them. In terms of value, I think $30 for MSRP is kind of high for this game. I think, honestly, $25, we saw like A Hat in Time or Dodgeball Academia at $25. I feel like this game would actually be better at $20 for an MSRP, and then if it's on sale around $15, I think that's great. I wound up paying $19 for it. That's fine. I was really just pissed because I bought it and then like a month later it was on PlayStation Plus. So I was like, damn it. But I think $19 is okay. I think around $15 and under, I think, is a really great value for what's in here. I think the quality of this game is really good. The production value, I don't know, because we're talking about a studio of like 50 people or more. I don't see all that value here. I've seen games that have comparable quality that were made by like 5 people. I'm not an insider on the industry, but I don't know if maybe that $30 price tag is kind of trying to be justified by what is being presented, and I just don't see that. But I do think that having it on Game Pass is a huge thing. If you grab this when it was on PlayStation Plus, you really have no reason not to try it. If you're a Tony Hawk Pro Skater fan, this game just bleeds it. You will feel right at home. If you're a fan of that, you will love the addition of the combat, and you also like that it's free of that time constraint, because that 2 minutes in a Tony Hawk Pro Skater level, I just feel like is not enough, especially if you want to explore. Honestly, I think this is a good game for the right price. I highly recommend it. It's up to you to figure out what that price is. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.